Ever so often, I like to speak on comparative religion. Today, I'm going to look at a faith that has millions of followers around the world. In the early 1800s, people were looking for the end of the world and the ushering in of the millennium. Many new religions were born in the Americas and England. At this time of Advent, it was also a time of belief in magic and superstition. Folk music was popular with people, and they looked for mystical, magical means to locate buried treasure. A young, educated boy was caught up in this treasure hunting craze. He wasn't religious, but he was skilled in convincing people that he was an expert in using crystals and magical stone to find hidden treasures left behind by the Spaniards and Native Americans. In New England, his mother was involved in the religious craze at the time, expecting the return of Christ any day, and at a time where some would live 1,000 years of peace and others would experience 1,000 years of punishing fire for their sins. His father was non-religious but believed in witchcraft and practiced fortune-telling and sold blessings. His mother believed in visions, ghosts, and was steeped in superstition. The Smiths were known for being lazy, lacking in truth-telling, and while not malicious, they were always looking for a way to extract money from others. In the spring of 1820, at the age of 14, Smith became curious about religion. He decided to go into a grove and ask God to show him the true religion. He knelt down and earnestly prayed, and after a reported run with the devil, he said he saw a pillar of light brighter than the sun appear directly over his head. In that light, he saw two people of indescribable brightness. He said it was revealed to him it was God the Father and the Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus, he said, told him that none of the churches around had the truth, and that he was being called to restore a church with truth lost to the world and to prepare the world for the second coming. He told no one about this experience, and a few years went by. Then he had a second vision. This time it was from an angel telling him the second coming was right around the corner, and he was being called to prepare the world. The angel told him that a book written on golden plates buried in the hill near his house. The book, he was told, is an important record of a group of Jews who left their homeland in 600 BC and came to the Americas. Along with the golden plates, there was a gear that would help him translate what was written. But he needed to get a little older first. At this point, he told his family what he was experiencing, and they believed him. At age 21, this uneducated, previously unreligious treasure hunter started to orient himself to becoming a prophet. He unearthed the plates and secured them from theft, then started to translate them. Written in Egyptian, he said the words are translated into English with the use of the gear that was with them. As he sat on one side of the curtain with the plates that no one else was allowed to see, he dictated out loud to a scribe. Eventually, he did not even need to have the plate with him or the plates with him, but could use his magical stones from his treasure hunting days to dictate what was on the golden plates. He would put the little chocolate-colored stone in a hat, and then bury his face in the hat, and the stone, he said, would light up with the words that was supposed to be dictated. At the time, this was very normal in society, used to believe in magic, and with the new awakening toward religious fever, and they readily blended the two. You know, if a 3 or 4 or 5 year old came up and said they were doing this, you'd think that's pretty funny. Because, you know, kids have a pretty wide imagination. But a 21-year-old, you'd want to call Dr. Phil, see what's wrong with him. After 90 days, this barely educated man produced 588 pages of text. His book was the main validator of him being a prophet. People were amazed by the complexity of the book covered by an uneducated, almost illiterate young man. By now, you probably realize that the story of an 1830s religion began by a young man known as Joseph Smith. And the being he calls Moroni, he began to gain followers in a little house at Fayette, New York. His daily revelations created a whole new religion, unlike any other. Turns out, God is a man with a body of flesh and bone, and he has a wife. Humans are little eternal balls of light called intelligences that come from our heavenly parents who are sent down to earth to get physical bodies, to get married, create earthly families, and to learn and to grow. Then all will return to live with their families in their part of the universe to grow their own eternal families. In order to do that, they have to pass certain tests and go through certain rituals, one of which is covenant marriage. Because Mormons believe that everyone must receive certain ordinances to be saved. They perform ordinances on behalf of deceased persons. These ordinances are performed by a proxy on behalf of the dead. Mormons believe that the deceased may accept or reject the offered ordinance in the spirit world. Ordinances on behalf of the dead are performed only when the deceased person's genealogical information has been submitted to a temple. Mormons, or the Church of Latter-day, or the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, do not claim that this book, known as the Book of Mormon, is a new Bible. But they do see it as inspired, along with some other books written by Joseph Smith. While they claim this is not in place of the Holy Bible, their foreword says it is written by the spirit of prophecy and of revelation, and sealed up until Moroni, the son of Mormon, showed it to Joseph Smith. They quote from it just as we would quote from the Holy Bible. Their instruction says it is a new and additional witness of Jesus Christ. Joseph Smith told his followers that the Book of Mormon was the most correct book of any book on earth and the keystone of their religion. Even though they have the Holy Bible, they must most often go to this new revelation of the Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon tells the story of a group of Jews around 600 BC who were told to leave Jerusalem before it gets destroyed. They built a boat, traveled until they reached the Americas. The story follows two brothers, one who was dark-skinned and one who was light-skinned, who turn against each other and are always fighting. It also goes into a lot of prophets and drama that follow over the years. They say one brother is a principal ancestor of the American Indians, although recently changed that when DNA evidence proved it wrong. They said when Jesus was resurrected, he came to visit these ancient civilizations to early Jewish settlers to get them on the road to true religion. They have many painted depictions of the visit and supposed to have happened before the revelations to Joseph Smith. They say Jesus is a sixth prophet, after many being called over and over through the years to get mankind back on track. And Joseph Smith became a modern-day prophet and restorer of the true religion to prepare the saints for the millennium. and the end of the world. Their tradition of a prophet at the head of their church continues to this day. In their teaching, Jesus Christ is the first spirit child conceived and begotten by Heavenly Father, and one of Heavenly Father's many wives, commonly referred to as Heavenly Mother. Just as Heavenly Father before him progressed to godhood, Jesus Christ, through obedience and devotion, attained that pinnacle of intelligence which ranked him as a god. As such, according to LDS authorities, Jesus is not to be worshipped or prayed to as one would worship or pray the Heavenly Father. Joseph Smith was totally a product of his time, where people were looking for the world to end, and the return of Jesus Christ to being on the millennium of peace, but also trusting in what they saw as miraculous means that were little more than trickery and superstition. His religion is totally off the rails, and the teaching that God has a wife and it is a combination of Jewish mysticism, American folk magic, reincarnation, evangelical Christianity, and eventually even Freemasonry. But still, he gained a following that continues this day with many loyal believers. We don't have enough time to go into all the explanation of which beliefs came from the sources, but the information can be found on an internet search, and we also have a section in the ABC Comparative Religion on Mormonism. We will quickly finish with four scriptures that show this religion is incapable with the Holy Spirit. One, God is not flesh and bone. If you would like, you can turn to 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. And then proof 2, there is no deity identified as female in either the Old or New Testament Bible. Only when the Bible speaks of a pagan religion does it mention a queen of heaven. In Jeremiah 7:18, the children of God are the children gathered wood, and the fathers kindled the fire, and the woman need dough to make cakes for the queen of heaven, and they pour out drink offerings to other gods, that they may provoke me to anger. And now the third one. We are not eternal, and we are not balls of light sent down. If you go to Ezekiel 18 and start, Ezekiel 18 and verse 4. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the Father, as well as the soul of the Son, is mine. The soul who sins shall die. And the last one. The Bible clearly says to not add or take away from the words of this holy book. And even what you can turn to Revelation 22. In Deuteronomy, Moses admonished the children of Israel not to add or take away from the book of the law. In Revelation 22, verses 18 and 19, for I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book, if anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in the book, in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God will take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, from the things which are written in this book. So it just goes to show you, if you start reading other so-called holy books, it'll take you away from the true book of God, the Holy Bible.